My Facebook feed is filled with pictures of cats and recipes for no-bake cookies and ads for things like comfortable shoes and face cream to make me look 10 years younger. I don't usually go there for great religious wisdom. Oh, but sometimes. One of my friends posted a question about the idea of hope a few years ago. She was asking if having hope was a platitude. Was hope just a way to be in denial about how terrible things are? Kind of denial that some groups will use to keep the oppressed from rising up against the oppressors. You know, a way to maintain a conflict-free status quo. Or is hope a way for people to imagine and seek a better tomorrow? A way to keep from feeling shut down? Does hope actually help? Does hope help us stay empowered? And help us strive for a world of more love and justice? My friend's Facebook query about hope got a lot of responses. There were some people who didn't have much good to say about the idea of hope. They said the idea of hope keeps us pacified, helps us to not think of a better future, keeps us from addressing problems that really need to be solved here and now. Some said hope could be obsolete if we just made things better. Their idea is that if we stay in the spirit of hope, we won't get in touch with that anger we need, an anger we need to get things to be different. Like our feelings of hope out of place if we see someone sleeping on the sidewalk and say, "Ooh, that's bad. Hope that situation gets better." There was a sentiment that if things are really okay now, with no injustice, no oppression, we wouldn't need quite so much hope. Native American poet and activist John Turdell was cited as one poet who said that there's something about a disease state in our modern life system that's so filled with greed and aggression that people are spiritually disconnected. They've lost the spiritual aspect of life. And if you let those bad things take you over, your spirit gets eaten and you're just one of the walking dead. And at that point, hope seems to be lost. Hope is seen by many as a spiritual practice, after all. It is a loss of hope that is connected with a loss of spiritual grounding. Then there's Alexander Pope, who said, "Blessed is he who expects nothing, for he will never be disappointed." But does that mean hope is a setup? A way to feel let down when the new day doesn't bring a better world along with it? I know these are tough times. The political dialogue in this nation is embarrassing. And yes, it's also frightening. Our planet is on fire. And some just don't seem to understand that the economic inconvenience of this doesn't change the threat we face. Trans children are put at risk of not getting medical care they desperately need. Have these people not seen the statistics? The children who get gender-affirming health care have a significantly lower suicide rate than those who do not. Or do they just not care? Then there's war. War in Palestine, war in Ukraine, just to name some of the places where injustice is expressed in the most horrific manifestation of death and destruction of homes and lives of innocent people. Brown and black people continue to be recipients of violence at the hands of police in ways the white neighbors are not. And there's that terrible epidemic of school shootings in this country. Oh goodness, reading the news and even reading your Facebook can lead you to feelings of hopelessness. You might see little to inspire a sense of hope. And I understand these feelings. I truly do. But I want to share with you what I wrote on my friend's Facebook page when the topic of hope came up. I said, even in hard times, as we experience today, I believe there's always cause for hope. It's part of what motivates us to make things better. Without hope, there's no sense of purpose. And I truly believe this. Hope is what allows us to imagine a better future that could be possible. If we don't believe a better future is possible, we can't strive for it, work for it, even fight for it. Without this striving and working and fighting, that better future certainly can never be. It's only when we believe it's possible that we can be motivated to try and bring a better world into being. For instance, if Dr. Jonas Salk had not had hope to inspire and motivate him in his work that something could be done to found a way to keep children from being crippled and dying of polio, then we would still have hospitals full of children on iron lung machines. His hope fed his work to eliminate polio. And Dr. Salk gave his vaccine away for free. There were no profits. He didn't do it for the money, but to save lives and build a better world. If I didn't have hope of building a better world, I couldn't get up here in a pulpit, in person or on video, and face the sacred task of helping us all try to make meaning out of our lives. I couldn't do it. It would feel like a waste of time. Now, others on that interesting Facebook conversation had similar feelings. Many therapists spoke of the importance of hope in helping people to find and maintain not only the will to live, but a functional mental state. And people who'd battled depression shared how terrible feelings of hopelessness can be. And people make a distinction between hope and simple wishful thinking. They're not the same. Now, wishing is nice, but hope is more deeply rooted. It has spiritual strength. For many people, hope is stronger than a wish. It's more connected to the source. It's more substantial. Hope motivates action. One person said, hope is the mature manifestation of faith. Ooh, I like that. Hope is faith that has some strength and some backbone to it. Hope is one of the things that makes our faith real in the world. Hope makes our faith real. Many of you know this famous poem by Emily Dickinson. Hope is a thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings a tune without words and never stops at all. And sweetest, in the gale is heard, and sore be the storm that could abash that little bird that kept so many warm. I've heard in the chilliest land and in the strangest sea, and yet never, in extremity, it asked a crumb of me. In this poem, Dickinson talks of hope having a special relationship with the human soul. No matter how bad the storm or chill the wind, hope is still there to keep and tend our need for comfort. Dickinson speaks of the visitor unbidden to her heart, and the miracle is that hope is never asking for payment or praise. It is steadfast regardless. This last year, I watched a Sandman TV series on Netflix. It's a beautifully crafted production of Neil Gaiman's story about Morpheus, the god of dreams. Here's a scene where Morpheus is in a battle with Lucifer Morningstar, the ruler of hell. Now, they're both supernatural beings, so they can change into anything they choose, which is how they battle. And here's how the battle goes. Lucifer has the first move. I am a dire wolf, prey stalking, lethal prowler. I am a hunter, horse mounted, wolf stabbing. I am a serpent, horse biting, poison toothed. I am a bird of prey, snake devouring, talons ripping. I am a butcher bacterium, worm life destroying. I am a world, space floating, life nurturing. I am a nova, all exploding, planet cremating. I am a universe, all things encompassing, all life embracing. I am anti-life, the beast of judgment, the dark end of everything. What will you be then, Dream Lord? Morpheus, very weak, opens his eyes and gasps out one word. Hope. Just one word. Hope. And Lucifer has to concede that the battle has been won by her opponent. The God of Dreams goes on to say, tell me, Lucifer, Morning Star, what power would hell have if those here imprisoned were not able to dream of heaven? One phrase on the Facebook feed on hope, one I liked a lot. The path is made by walking. We don't know what our striving for a better world will result. We don't know if it's going to get us what we want. But just the act of trying does, in some way, help make our vision into a reality. We try, and that inspires others to try, and then things can maybe get better. I think about all those social movements where just a few people stood up. They did the right thing. And pretty soon a wave of moving the right direction grew into a movement that changed the world. Think about that great Montgomery bus boycott. Now, yes, Rosa Parks and Martin Luther King had been plotting this for quite a while, yet no one knew if it would work. Oh, but they gave it a try. One woman arrested on one day for sitting down in the white part of the bus, and it grew into a huge boycott of the Montgomery bus system. And this action in this one city changed the direction of racial justice all over the country. And there were so many silent helpers in that boycott. People who shared their cars, people who gave rides to enable all those African American workers to get to their job without riding the bus. And for those people who didn't get a ride in a car, some of them just plain walked. If those people had been trying to get to work without a ride, had not had hope and faith that things could be different for them and their families, they just would have given up and got on the next bus. Save the shoe leather. Tack with a boycott. Nothing's going to change anyway. But because of their hope, their action, this hope and faith inspired, things did change. Then did they solve all the problems of white supremacy? No. But many believe that the Montgomery bus boycott moved the arc of the universe towards justice. I think Barack Obama said it well. He says, hope is not blind optimism. It's not ignoring the enormity of the task ahead or the roadblocks that stand in our path. It's not sitting on the sidelines or shirking from a fight. Hope is the thing inside of us that insists, despite all evidence to the contrary, that something better awaits if we have the courage to reach for it and to work for it and to fight for it. Hope is the belief that destiny will not be written for us, but by us, by people who are not content to settle for a world as it is, but who have the courage to remake the world as it should be. Yes, hope is what allows us to create a better world. I heard a minister say that hope is the business we're in as religious folk. When people are hurting, when people are frightened and overwhelmed, they seek a religious community like yours in which to feel some solace, find some healing, and make meaning out of things. We Unitarian Universalists know what if the world is going to be better, we're going to have to do a lot of heavy lifting ourselves. So what are we? We are peddlers of hope, among other things, because hope is one of the essential ingredients in building a better world. Other religious traditions also look to hope as essential to their faith. One of my colleagues, said a Zen master told him that he needed to find at least one source of joy every day. It could be a tree in bloom or the face of a baby, anything that brings joy. But this joy was essential to not giving into despair. Joy can help sustain the spirit, so hope can abide. Spring is when many congregations do child dedication rituals, things like that. When we pledge ourselves to our little children, we're pledging ourselves to the future and hope. We're investing in the hope of new life and the sweet joy that the young bring to our community. And it seems right that I'm offering the sermon in the spring, around the time of Easter for those who celebrate it. In the spring, after a long winter of darkness and cold, we begin to see bulbs flowering in the yard and green shoots on the trees. The days get longer and warmer. If you believe winter would go on forever, you're given proof that it will not. The weather and the season beginning to change. The spring goddess, Ostara or Ishtar, sounds like Easter if you say it just right, doesn't it? Well, she has come back to Earth at this time of year, as promised, brings warmer and milder days to come. In some parts of the world, she's called Persephone. In some places, she's called Dubar. Other places, Puya. But in all places, she is the goddess who brings us the spring and the hope of new life born in the earth again. Hope is not a platitude to keep us docile. And hope does not need to divide us when times get tough. I close with the words of Stephen Charleston, a retired Episcopal bishop and member of the Choctaw Nation. Bishop Charleston said this: "We can all share hope. We can all believe in it, even if we are radically different in every other way. We no longer need to fear our difference because we have a common ground. We can hope together. Hope liberates us. It frees us from our fear of the other. It opens our eyes to love all around us. Yes, we may not all envision the same better future, but we can all hope to see and create a world with less fear and a world with more love. May it be so, my friends."